Jesus said, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Of course, that's the gospel from Ascension Day. And the modern church has chosen to make, and the modern, church has chosen to make Ascension Sunday in lieu of Ascension Day. True, we are in the octave of Ascension, but Ascension Day is purposely on Thursday because it is precisely 40 days after Easter, after our Lord's physical and bodily resurrection from the dead. So, it's in when you, I'm sure at some point, you've had an Ascension Day service where the Paschal candle was put out after that gospel was read. And the lights, however, remain on the altar because he's still with us, but he's parted from us physically now as he's ascended up into heaven. And so as we put out the Paschal candle, we realize that he's with us in the sacrament and in his word. And of course, he is the word made flesh. Now, ascension, what is that? Well, the celebration of seems to come from Eusebius, one of the early church historians, one of the fathers, seemed to hint of it being celebrated in the 4th century, that's in the 300s. And it's logical because the Ascension is talked about in the Bible. It's recorded in St. Mark and St. John in particular. So what is the term Ascension? Elijah was taken up into heaven. He was taken up. Mary, as some of us hold as a pious belief, was assumed into heaven. So brought up. Our Lord, however, ascended. He himself was able to ascend. He wasn't taken up. He went up himself. Why? Because he's God. What happened on that day of ascension? His glorified body, which physically arose at his resurrection, he ascended up in heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father. So his glorified body, as he takes his place in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, he brings us up as Kohelet said, that we may thither ascend. He's gone before us and taken with us that means of actually reaching heaven, because in his glorified body, as the body of Christ in the church, we are part of that glorified ascended body. So we thither may ascend later, but we are with him because, as the body of the church. What else happened on that day? The physical appearance of Christ was gone until he came. Nobody saw him, save one, St. Paul. On the road to Damascus, of course, Paul is converted. He falls off his horse. He hears his voice and sees our Lord. And this needed to happen because to be an apostle, you had to be a personal witness of Christ being on earth. And the reason Paul got that was this unique appearance in order to give him the authority to be an apostle, as he says in his epistles. So Christ, the head of his body, the church, precedes us into the Father's glorious kingdom, so that the members of his body live in the hope of being as he is, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, and assures of the permanent outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So he's taken with us in his glorious body and glorified body, and he's there ready to send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to us to vivify the church, to convict us of sin, to give us encouragement. And there'll be more of this next week for Pentecost. So, the apostles, he he's gone. And they realize, they're sort of thinking, what now? What are we to do? But as the gospel said, they rightfully did what you were doing here. They returned to Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the church. They come here to praise God, to receive him in the sacrament. You are doing just that. So I hardly need to preach about that. You're doing it. And this small group here is significant, just as significant as anything in St. Peter's Basilica or any large church. You're doing the thing. We're doing the right thing by being here. So we go back to the church, and we go out from the church to give witness to the gospel. And teaching, we teach the gospel. Saint Francis said, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And if necessary, use words. Our lives should be the gospel. And it isn't always that case. We know that. That's why we come here to be renewed, come here for mutual confession. We come here when we're able to have the sacrament. But when you can't have the sacrament, you have his word and his presence with you anyhow. And there are means where you can make spiritual communions, you know, a communion of desire. God promises the full efficacy of his body and blood. If you make a spiritual communion when you can't have it, right, as we can here today. But as a liturgical church, we always want to have as many physical things as we can, so God provides that in the sacrament. And how are we brought into the church? As our Lord said in the Great Commission, go ye therefore to all nations, teaching them and baptizing in the name of the Holy Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I am with you always. So this very few simple words, but profound. This is what we're supposed to do, to go from here out to the world, to share the gospel with people by our lives, by words that they'll listen, and to bring them in and have them baptized. And what do we have today? We have Mother's Day. And how's that tie in with today's liturgy? Well, who is nourishing us? Our Lord is nursing us, but what is he nursing us with? The sacrament. But who administers the sacrament? His bride, Holy Mother Church. The same way that our mothers gave us life and nourished us. We were able to suckle the breast of consolation from our mother. To feed us, to care for us, to love us. And the church does the same thing when she comes together and we suckle at the breast of consolation in word and sacrament. I want to close, if you'll permit me. It's a rather long passage of Scripture, but I think it says it all. This is our Lord's, the final part of our Lord's final discourse at the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday. It's St. John's Gospel, its 17th chapter. And I distill it, but I think it is, this is his prayer to his Father with these words. Spake Jesus and lifted his eyes up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Again, talking about the glorified body, that we're all part of that. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me unto them, the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The words of St. John as our Lord, about oneness with him and the Father and us all together. So right here he's alluding, of course, to his ascension. He's alluding also, of course, to his crucifixion and that he will be gone for 3 days but resurrect, but also pointing to the moment where he's ascended and preparing a place for us. So go out into the world, teach and baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.